Morning in America. Welcome back. John Klein joins us. It's been a while for Chairman Klein. We missed him. He is a congressman from Minnesota's 2nd District, chairman of the House Committee on Education and the Workforce, and they've been busy and got some good ideas, interesting ideas. Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. How are you this fine morning?
I'm doing fine. You're also a United States Marine, are you not?
I am.
Were you a colonel?
Indeed. And right. Speaking of Marines, how's our Marine?
Well, he's fine. First lieutenant now on his way to captain, wow. We think. So he's doing great. He's doing great. Cool. He's giving us lots of stories. You know Marine stories. They're great.
Yeah, I made up a fair share of my own.
Anyway, I got to ask you, not an affectation, but our phone lines were buzzing the first hour about a couple things. One is DHS.
Right.
Funding, and boy, our audience feels very strongly. We just take it on this one. I mean, if we get a shutdown, we get a shutdown, but you can't let the president transform the country the way he wants to do it. What do you think?
Well, I think it's up to the Senate. I mean, the House passed what I think your audience wants to see happen. We provided funding for the Department of Homeland Security through the end of September. We put restrictions in on the president's unconstitutional, illegal immigration amnesty actions, and we sent it over to the Senate. And the Senate's a little bit out of practice on getting things done, I guess, is their only excuse.
That's a good way to put it.
But, I mean, seriously, they have to figure out, Senate Republicans and Senate Democrats have to figure out how they can get a bill and pass it. And what I've told my Republican Senate colleagues is you need to work this out and get a bill that can pass with a strong majority of Republican votes. Don't just slip something through there that, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 Republicans vote for and the Democrats vote for it and send it back. No, you've got to work this out. And I find it extraordinary that the Senate Democrats have been blocking any debate and consideration of this bill for weeks. And now when it looked like Leader McConnell was going to give them what they wanted in the sense of a clean DHS funding bill, that's what they've been asking for weeks. And now they're saying, no, that's not good enough.
Not good enough, right.
The Senate bill, the Senate has to work this out. I'm highly annoyed when I hear from either Senate Democrats or Senate Republicans that, well, the House has just got to come up with another plan. No,
right. House
we passed the legislation.
Yeah. And you passed it with these exceptions, taking issue with the administrative orders here, the president's executive orders. Yeah, I don't think it looks good. I mean, my own sense is because McConnell's latest plan is to, you know, a clean bill which funds DHS completely, and then a subsequent bill which will remove the offensive funding. But that doesn't stand to prayer, it seems to me. So,
well, again, yeah. The Senate can't figure out how the Senate works, much less the rest of us. So,
yeah, well, as you said, they're out of practice, too. But I think we're facing a bit of a crisis here. But I also think we'll survive it. I mean, I think the stakes here are very, very high. So
they are high. Yeah. And I mean, there's just no question about that.
Right.
There is a limit to how long you can not fund the Department of Homeland Security.
Because
in the long run, you're asking people. You're demanding, you're requiring that people go to work, FBI agents and Border Patrol and so forth, but you're not paying them.
Yep, that's right.
And so we've got some room here, but it's really on the Senate right now to figure something out. We've done what we're supposed to do in the House. They've got to figure it out, and then we'll go from there.
Excuse me. Let's talk about Student Success Act.
Yes.
What about this? First of all, are you in sync with the Senate, with Senator Alexander and others on this, or is this just a House product at this point?
This is a House product. It is very, very close, almost identical to the legislation we passed in the last Congress. We are trying very, very hard to restore local control, get the U.S. Secretary of Education, all apologies, former Secretary, out of the business of creating federal education policy, and that's the situation now. Because without a change in the legislation, No Child Left Behind remains the law of the land. And so every school in America, virtually every school in America, is failing to make adequate yearly progress and is subject to some ever-increasing draconian actions directed by law to turn that school around unless you get a waiver from the secretary. So yeah. Secretary Duncan is granting these temporary conditional waivers if the states meet the conditions that he imposes. This is an intolerable position. We need to change this law, and the law that we have really gets the secretary out of that position of being the nation's superintendent, as Lamar Alexander calls him. And to answer your question, are we working with the Senate? We are, and Lamar Alexander, Senator Alexander, and I agreed weeks ago that we were going to move in parallel tracks, but not try to write common language, because, as we were just discussing, the Senate has a different process. They have different dynamics than the House.
Sure do.
So our goal was to pass a bill re-empowering parents and restoring local control, eliminating a whole maze of these just crazy number of federal programs that have grown up. We eliminate 65 programs, Bill. 65.
Yeah, I know.
Programs.
I know.
So we need to pass our legislation. We're going to do that this week. The Senate is working, I know, because I stay in touch with them.
Yep.
They'll produce a product, and then we'll try to work something out in conference.
All right, so you've made the philosophy clear. We're talking to John Klein, chairman of the House Committee on Education and the Workforce, changes here in the Elementary and Secondary Education Acts. What are the other features, apart from limiting the secretary, what are the other major features that you're proposing?
Well, as I just mentioned, what we have right now are over 80 individual federal K-12 education programs. This bill eliminates 65 of those things.
Okay.
And gives the states, gives these superintendents these local flexible grants. So now if a superintendent has got money in one area but doesn't need it there, he can move that money, or she can move that money to where it needs to be moved.
Good.
So this flexibility will allow them to spend the money where it needs to be spent.
Great.
Right now, we're wasting money, in effect, because it's trapped in these silos. So this will allow them to do that. This allows the schools and the districts to focus more money, more Title I money on poor kids. We allow that Title I money to move with the poor student wherever they choose
right.
to go.
Good. So
and
choice.
I think that's
good.
An important, that's the fair thing to do. If you're a poor student, you deserve your share of that Title I money, whatever school you go to. So we have that portability. We do some really, really good stuff with, frankly, very strong bipartisan support to strengthen public charter schools. Make it easier to replicate these good schools. And as you know, Bill, in many places, this is the only hope.
It's sure.
The only way out
for
a failing school system. So I think it's a very strong bill. It is very a student-focused. We want to do the best for every kid because every kid deserves an excellent opportunity school. That's what we're trying to do.
Let me ask you about one aspect, because I read the outline, like it very much, agree with almost everything. One area of concern I had, my experience, replaces current national accountability scheme based on high-stakes tests with state-led accountability systems. Understand
right.
that. Understand that the accountability has to be in the state. But we had this terrible problem, as you know, back when. We've had it forever. When you have these different state standards, you don't know really what you're doing until you do an audit, like a NAEP, National Assessment Audit,
right.
and you find out people are inflating. We've had this problem over and over and over again. How do you deal with that question, that the Lake Wobegon, as they call it?
Yeah, right.
Your fellow Minnesotan.
Remember.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, right.
All the kids are above average.
We know that. All the girls are beautiful, and you married one.
Well,
I know that.
That's an obvious. No, what accountability, it seems to me, you need accountability, but what we have, the accountability measures now under No Child Left Behind, have led to these really draconian steps that schools and school districts have to take to match what the Secretary of Education want you to do. We think that the measures, the accountability measures, need to be at the state level. We do think it's important. So how we address that? We do think it's important that there continue to be a report card on schools. So we require that the states continue to test annually, just like they have to do under current law. We require that they test at least 95% of the kids, of the students, so you can't cherry pick and only pick your smartest kids to take the test. And we require that that information be, as it is under current law, disaggregated. So you can look and see if you're leaving consistently or continuously a part of the population, minority kids. Or
is the test of their own design?
Yes, and I think that's the way that you should do it. As you know, now there is a great deal of roiling confusion over this Common Core approach, and the assessments go with that. We do not ban Common Core because that's not the goal of the federal government.
Excuse me, I got to interrupt, but we're out of time in this segment. Can you stay on for one more short segment?
I can. I'd love to.
It'll be great. Terrific. Congressman Klein, Chairman John Klein, House Education Committee, Committee on Education and the Workforce. We'll be back with John Klein. Chairman John Klein stays with us, Chairman of the House Education Committee, Education and the Workforce. Chairman, you and I were talking a little bit on break about the Common Core, and I have some differences with my audience on this, but I don't think we have any difference, right? Common Core, if this is what a state wants to do, fine, but not the federal imposition of the Common Core.
Well, that's the problem. It's not the correct role, it's not a proper role of the federal government to tell the state of Minnesota or any other state what it can or cannot do or should not do about establishing their academic standards. And as you know very well, when Common Core started, it was states saying, look, we ought to just get together and develop these things. And if it had stayed that way, where states were totally in charge, it would have been a different situation. But as you know, what's happened is the federal government, in the form of the Department of Education, got in and started coercing and incentivizing and forcing this issue, and that's what's wrong. And our bill prohibits the secretary from doing that.
Good. I think that's great. What I'm after is still voluntary agreements, for example, among states saying we agree on these standards and we're going to test in our state on this. I still think that would be a very useful tool, but keep the federal government out of it.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk about some of these numbers, because one of the interesting things that's explicit in a couple places in your legislation is that the greater the involvement of the federal government, the worse things have gotten for American education. You say despite ever-increasing intrusion into our classrooms, student achievement remains stagnant. 36% of eighth graders are reading at grade level. 36%, that means 64% are not. 35% of eighth graders are proficient in math. 65% are not. These are terrible numbers.
They are terrible numbers. And what happens, as you know very well, you start looking at national averages, national graduation rates, and so forth. But what you have to look at is we have some areas, many areas in this country, where less than half of the kids are graduating. And those that graduate are looking at these kinds of numbers. They graduate, but they really can't read.
Yeah.
Not adequately. They certainly can't do math. And so they graduate, and then they try to go to college, and the very first thing that happens is they get there and find out that they have to go back to remedial instruction.
Yes, sir.
Or they try to get a job, and their employer says, well, you've got a diploma, but you don't know anything.
You
can't write.
Yeah.
And that's unacceptable for us to keep putting money in, keep putting all these mandates from the federal government in, and get results like this. So our position, my position, has been we need to change. We need some bold changes here, and that's what we're trying to do.
And do we need the bold changes, or something else will happen? I had lunch yesterday with John Engler. You know, he is president of the Business Roundtable. And he was saying an awful lot of businesses are saying, you know, well, never mind. We'll do it ourselves. We'll educate people ourselves, whether they have a degree or not. We can't trust the diploma, the point you just made.
Right.
We'll just start bringing people in and assume they don't know anything. And we'll just, you know, become a school. It's more efficient, maybe more economically prudent.
Yeah, well, John was in my office, and we were having some of this discussion. And there's no question, as you know and your listeners know, there is a lot of on-the-job training that goes on now. But I think that's not a very good solution,
right?
Because you have many, many, many businesses who simply can't do that.
They can't afford it, yeah. Most business in America is small business. Yeah.
Right. That doesn't work. And there's no question that some big companies are already doing that, and sometimes they get They get people. Yeah, they get people with some pretty good skills, but they need different or better skills, and they're doing it. But as a solution for the American workforce, yeah. that won't work.
Well, $700 billion, one could plausibly say schools ought to be schools. That is, they ought to, schools ought to be places where people learn, temples of learning, as I used to call them.
Right.
Yeah, one would hope. Well, I think these are very thoughtful proposals, real progress on the past, and you've put your shoulder to the wheel here and produce something very good. We look forward to it and talking with you about it, and most important, seeing some student success. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you very much. And if you ever want to parade all those former secretaries up in front of your committee, I would not recommend it.
Thanks for the warning.
You betcha. That's a waste of time. I've done that before. Thank you, sir. Well done.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.